Corinth, the Apostle Paul declared, quote, "If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know," end quote. Modern Judeo-Christian preachers proclaim that our Heavenly Father loves all men equally, but that's totally false and foreign to the Word of God. And who are His true chosen ones, and who are the wicked imposters? Where does America fit in His grand design? To find out, send a $6 offering U.S. funds and ask for this invaluable pamphlet entitled The Greatest Discovery of Our Age. It just might open your eyes to some vast biblical truths hidden in plain sight. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, USA. That's a $6 offering for the pamphlet The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, available from Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Thank you.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay, the price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score, don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers, coming to you live this August 17th, 2019. Good morning, and good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Tim, over in I'm sure it's a sunny Nebraska this morning.
Oh, it's kind of overcast. It's okay, the sun's back there someplace.
Yeah.
So, good morning.
Well, good morning, and we say good morning to you, the remnant, and thanks for joining us, and we know you're out there. We get the emails and the texts and the phone calls, and so we thank you for joining us for a cup of coffee this morning. Hope you have your coffee. I've got a cup and a half here because that's what it's going to take to get through. A little brisk this morning. Still summertime, but it's probably 45 degrees outside, and that's just a little brisk when that sun hasn't quite come up. But it's up and warming things up, and beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch, and we do thank you for joining us. And John, if you'd open us up in prayer, we'll open the phone lines after that and get moving here.
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we acknowledge you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God of Gods, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for all of the many blessings, Father, for all the times that you deliver us from evil, for all of the things that you provide for us that we take for granted. We ask you to forgive us for those things, Lord. But your word says that we're to be thankful for all things, and we do also thank you for the trials and the tribulations and the testing that your word also says you only test those that you love. Father, we know that you refine us into the men and women that you want us to be through these trials and tribulations and tests, and we thank you for that. And Father, we know that this is a spiritual warfare that we're in, and there's only one way to win, and that's through prayer. So Father, I ask that you would just awaken mighty prayer warriors across this country and throughout the world that understand the power of prayer, that understand that with great reward comes great responsibility, and we have a responsibility as the true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, as the remnant, as Jedi, Jesus' disciples, to pray according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to hear ye from the Lord, and to obey once we do hear. Father, we know that the enemy knows that their time is limited as well, Lord, and you can see that they're pulling out the stops. But Father, we also know that your word says that you can take what's meant for a curse and turn it into a blessing, and that's our petition, Father, that you would continue to bring the things that were done in the dark to the light, and that they would be shouted from the rooftops. We continue to pray, Father, that you would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, and that they would turn upon one another and devour one another. We continue to pray, Father, that they fall into the pit that they dig and be ensnared in the traps that they lay. Father, let it be like it was when they built the Tower of Babel, Lord, that you would confuse their speech, Father, that they would not be able to communicate with one another. And as our pastor used to teach us, Father, cut them off from the communications of their father, the devil. Father, we ask that you would send your ministering angels to minister to those that need ministry, and Father, those that may have been deceived, those that may have opened a door or created a conduit that they may not even know that they've done. Extend your grace and mercy and compassion to all of those that can come to repentance. But Father, we know better than most that there are those that come only to steal, kill, and destroy, and roam like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, that try to thwart your plans to give us a good life, and not just any old life, but an abundant and good life, that you know the plans that you have for us, and plans for prosperity and health and even wealth, and that when we don't have those things, it's because the evil one has stolen that from us. So we ask that you would remove the scales from the eyes from those that are yours and unstop their ears, Father, that they'd be able to hear and see the truth, and that they'd fall upon their face and cry out for grace and mercy and compassion. And Father, we ask you, Almighty God, and we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. Amen. And that's the prayer that was once prayed every morning in every public school throughout the land until the Antichrist ACLU came against it. And Father, we just ask for restoration and restoral in the schools. Lord, that you would take authority over those that desire to corrupt our children. Father, put the fear of God in them once again, that better to have a millstone around their neck and cast into a deep sea than to cause one of your little ones to stumble. Put the fear of God into them that one day they will face judgment, and they will answer for those little ones that they cause to stumble. So, Father, we just lift up this time this morning to whatever it is that's important for your people, sir. Guide and direct us. Show us what it is that is important and how it ties into Scripture. We thank you for the time that you set aside. We thank you for those that labor to put the message out on shortwave all across the world. We thank you for those that labor to put this message out on the computer and stream it, and all of those behind the scenes that are part of the machine that you've put together to defeat the enemy. We pray for your blessings to be upon your ministry, Scriptures for America. I continue to pray for wisdom, understanding, and discernment as the one in charge of the ministry. And Father, we continue to pray that the Holy Spirit would work in a mighty way and that you would use us, Father. We say, here we are, use us, Lord. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, we have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913, if you have a comment this Saturday morning. And we'll sure try to get you on the air. And yeah, John, I'm glad you mentioned that prayer that was banned. You know, give us a good day. Bless our teachers and parents. And I think that some of the people are awakening to see just how bad that was in getting prayer taken out of the schools, and the difference. You look back over the last 55, 56 years at the difference in what's happened. People ask that, what's happened? It's been that slow turn, that slow heating up of the water, as the old symbolically with the frog boiling the frog in the water, and I think that was a major part of it, was taking that prayer out, because we don't exist in a void, and when you remove God and the Holy Spirit, well, other ungodly spirits move in, and I think what we see today. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't going fast enough for them, and that's when they implemented, the United Nations implemented Agenda 21, and even then, when they had the Obamanation administration in charge, things still weren't happening fast enough. And obviously, we all know that the final nail in the coffin would have been Hillary as president, but God granted us grace, mercy, compassion, and a window of time to continue to repent and turn back to him. But I guess where I was going with it was the fact that even then, as soon as President Donald J. Trump came into office, they realized that Agenda 21 wasn't going to happen, and now they have Agenda 30, and it's no longer a matter of turning up the water a degree at a time. It's the water is boiling, and they're trying to throw the frogs into the water. And the good news is that in the last days, that the terrorists have become more bold and brazen, and stick their heads up, and we're seeing that they're not hiding anything anymore. In fact, there's, I don't know if you saw this. We talked last week about a movie that was coming out about basically hunting down quite conservative Christian straight people. And that now there's a movie coming out that is entitled Hail Satan, and it's about the history of the Satanic Temple and how it started with three people and has grown to over 50,000 worldwide, and how it's actually received a nonprofit status, a 501c3 status, and how anywhere that Christian ethics are invoked, that they have big money behind them, big liberal money behind them, and they push the issues of Satanism. We talked, I don't know, a year or so ago about how they were having these after-school Satan clubs. Well, that was in competition to the Christian after school clubs that were trying to teach the children morality, that they don't have to go along with the way of the things of the world. And they're even in, I think it was Oklahoma, I'm not positive, but no, it was Arkansas. They tried to put, I mean, they I guess they did erect the Ten Commandments there at the Capitol, and the Satanists protested it, took it all the way to court, and I'm not sure if they ever won or not. I don't know if you guys know, but they wanted to erect the 8-foot-tall statue of Baphomet, the goat-horned human god that had young children basically adoring him around while he's sitting on a throne. And anyways, the point is that they're not hiding it anymore, what their agenda is. And the good news is I think it's awoken a lot of people that were in a slumber.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's what that's the good news. The good part of it is it's waking people up. It is. It is. Tim?
Oh, the other interesting thing about that movie you were talking about, I just seen a blurb on that yesterday. They're not going to release that movie. They've decided not to release it. And of course they had all kinds of different reasons about not releasing it, but I think it's just simply an answer.
Oh, you're talking about prayer. You're talking about The Hunt?
Yeah,
The Hunt. Yeah, I heard that as well. They had so much opposition against it. But
yeah, praise the Lord. You know, I mean, it's one of those kind of an Elijah moment. You're not the only one. There's other people out there that are, you know, just saying, hey, this is, but I thought that was encouraging. I mean, I thought to see them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they put a lot of, not only was there a lot of programming in that, I'm sure, I haven't seen it, but they put a lot of money into it, too. You know, they worship power and money. So, those things were all taken from them. And
right.
It's like what they worship.
It is.
Praise the Lord. About them pulling back the Hail Satan movie yet, and I don't think they will, because what they're trying to do is use that as a recruitment tool to continue to grow their agenda. But it just shows you where we're at in the country when you have a group that's the Satanic Temple that is able to receive tax-exempt status.
Oh, yeah. In a Christian nation.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly. If we have time, go ahead.
No, that's okay, hon. You go ahead, John. You got it.
Well, I mean, depending on what we got to talk about, there's a pretty significant history lesson in how we got to this point that we can look at. But first, whatever it is that's important that you guys have, we can go through that. And then if we have time, we'll look at the history lesson of how all this came into play.
Well, and I guess the only thing one of the things I noticed is, and this is becoming more serious, we had what got me to looking at it again, and was the fact that we had a fairly major hailstorm around here within the last couple of days and some tornadoes, and it flattened a bunch more crops. Western Nebraska was actually in fair shape as far as the crops went, and they lost a substantial amount over in the southwest part of the state 2 nights ago, just because they had tennis balls and baseball size hail. I mean, and then it just decimated everything. And I want to give, you know, we had some of that hail headed this way, and matter of fact, we started seeing it, and I went out and prayed over our place, and it stopped. I mean, within 5 minutes, we had no hail. And that's not my way of bragging about prayer. That's my way about bragging about the Lord.
Amen.
Because
amen.
I'm convinced that was a miraculous and divine intervention. Okay, so that's not me saying, hey, look at me, I prayed and see what happened. But it's like when we pray, see what our God does. But there's forget the crops that are damaged. There's 19 million plus acres that are normally in production that aren't in production. That's a lot. That's a huge number to begin with. But when you consider that there's multiples that come off every one of those acres, like 50 bushels or 100 bushels or whatever, and you start to multiply that by that 19 million, it's a big contrast to what's going on. I mean, I think
it's a delayed impact too.
Exactly, yeah. And I think it plays back into this alien invasion that we're seeing. If there's not enough to feed everybody, they're not gonna want to be here either. So, it's kind of like one of those things. Yeah, and the financial impact and everything else it's a big deal. So, I know that it's beginning to put strains on the banking system and on the insurance system and everything else that we're talking about. So, it's a heavenly answer to an earthly problem. I mean, to some degree, you see some of this stuff going on. So,
yeah, it seems like almost every afternoon nowadays there's warnings of hail, and I know a friend of ours that's part owner of auto dealerships, several Toyota dealerships, and he said that their insurance is doubled, and it's almost becoming a point of it's starting to hinder business, because in order to cover the cost of the insurance, they have to obviously raise the prices of the vehicles. So areas that are hail prone, which seem to be kind of eastern Colorado, those areas, their prices have to be increased higher than those areas that may not be receiving as much hail. But even, I guess I saw a story this morning too, in Montana, where thousands of birds were killed by baseball size hail, ducks on the lake and pelicans and all these different birds. Like a third of this bird sanctuary was
wow.
Wiped out by this baseball size hail, and just up in Montana there. But, you know, just like you touched base on, Tim, the fact that these insurance companies, you know, all you see around here is signs from new roofs that were put on, you know, because of the hail. And
exactly, yeah.
Now they make a hail-resistant shingle. It's a thicker shingle, and it's a much better quality shingle than, you know, a 20- or a 30-year shingle. It's typically a 50-year warranty. But anything... golf ball or larger still will cause damage to those shingles, and I guess it's a good time to be a roofer. But at some point, when you get all of those roofs replaced with 50-year shingles, and it's just like the auto industry, the biggest problem that they have right now is it saturation. The fact that if you look around, there's not that many old vehicles on the road anymore, very few, in fact, and most people have already purchased their new vehicles and are already enshackled in 5 to 7 years of debt, and at some point there's no more debt to be accumulated regarding
right.
a vehicle, and people are starting to find that out. You know, they used to maybe trade in every couple of years, but now they're so far upside down in their loans. In fact, I've heard it said that may be one of the next major crises is the auto industry defaulting, and also the school loans defaulting. But like you said,
there's only so much they can squeeze out of people.
Yeah, the insurance company's dad even talked about that, you know, so that's 8 years ago, that the time will come when the insurance companies won't even be able to shoulder the losses, and people will finally realize maybe at that point that there's only one thing that's going to curb these natural weather events, and that's prayer, just like you prayed, and I've done that as well. When you can see the storm coming across, and you can rebuke it, you know, God said that we have the power to do that. Greater things than this we shall do than Jesus did, so why don't we just have the faith to rebuke these storms and pray over what the Lord's blessed us with.
Absolutely. Well, and that's another thing. As long as we're going into the insurance thing, I mean, when you create an environment where you have to have it, either through loan securing or through, you know, government edict, you basically give those companies, they set terms then, and they rule with, they're just like autonomously. I mean, because they can tell you, and it all started back, if you go back into like the East India Company and some of those things and begin to look at it, that was pretty much the end of shipping historically. I mean, as they knew it back then, because they controlled all those things. Well, you can't do this unless you have that. You have to have so many life jackets. You have to have, and some of those things were good, don't get me wrong, but they begin to set ridiculous amounts of rules in place, and they basically create law through, you know, through, if you want to be insured, you have to do this, 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 and this. And you know, there was a lot of that stuff that went on and still is going on to this day. I mean, we talk about things like seat belts and things like that when they were voted out time and time and time again. Well, eventually, you know, they come out with rules that say, well, if they don't do this, then you're not going to be insurable, or you're, you know, there's, they create an environment of edict that supersedes, God's rules and government rules, you know, and, they run it themselves. And we see that kind of stuff going on. And rates continue to go up all the time just because they can, because pretty soon you can't work without that. You know, you can't, you're not going to be able to have a job or have a contract with anybody without certain things like that. So that, in effect, can damage you in that way, too. And the rates continue to go up.
Yeah, now you don't hear, too, that insurance companies send out special representatives to assess the condition of your home before they'll insure you on a new home purchase, to assess and document the condition of your roof and the condition of your siding condition, you know, because, well, it used to be that people were honest, and especially in the new car industry, the fact that you can purchase a hail vehicle, you know, hail damaged vehicle for significantly less. Well, there's a lot of people that were purchasing new vehicles. They'd wait a year or so, and then they would make a hail claim and end up getting a large check to get the work repaired. And if you didn't owe a ton of money on it, then you would just get the check. You wouldn't have to do the repair. These days, everybody's so upside down that the majority of the checks have to be endorsed by the loan company. And even in the roofing industry, I don't know if you know it, but the sad thing is as the value of homes continues to increase, the majority of people continue to take that equity and invest it into things that are material things, new cars, boats, RVs, things like that. And because they really don't have a lot of value even in their personal residences, when you get a check for a hail damage or something like that, you have to send that to the mortgage company to sign off on it first, and there's a legal binding agreement with the company that you chose to do the work, that they will do the work, and that money will go to restore their investment, not your investment, their investment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of that there and I think that it damages the economic environment for people. It's a form of slavery. It's a form of control, and it's a form of and it actually breeds what you were just talking about. It breeds vice and dishonesty and immorality in people, because desperate people do desperate things, you know. So it's they don't turn to their Heavenly Father. They turn to the worldly insurance company, and it leaves you shaking your head.
God, they turn to the God government.
Amen.
But like you said, whatever the number was of acres that's been damaged from either flooding or hail or whatever it is more significant than people realize, and we won't see the results of that until probably next year, because a lot of that stuff has been stored up, but you'll see it in the price of cattle. You'll see it in probably a scarcity of beef and things like that. So there's no doubt that God's setting us up for a famine.
Absolutely. There's millions of foodstuffs that will go missing. I mean, that pipeline is filled, and it runs, months behind as far as between when it actually hits. But I also kind of think that we're already seeing some of the prices go up. It's kind of like our fuel situation. We've talked about that before. You know, they have a refinery. All of the tanks are full. They have a refinery problem, and the gas price goes up tomorrow.
Right.
You know, everything's going to be overflowing. It doesn't go down for 6 months. But and it's no different with the food issues. So.
Yeah, and you see in the agricultural papers and stuff, when there is a flood, when there is this hail damage, and the big talk is the insurance settlements. You know, well, this is where you can contact your, we have this set up for you to help with your insurance payments and to help get you covered and to help do all this stuff. And there is no talk of the food shortage. There's no talk of, you know, well, the wheat crop is half of what it was. They come in and put the spin on it that, well, it's just slightly lower than expectations, and the expectations were half of what last year was, type of thing. And you're right, because it is an extended, we're not, it's just like sin. You know, when you sin, you're not always just struck down by lightning, so people think, well, you know, I can do this and get away with it. And that's the mentality. The people don't turn back to God. They're not looking to Him for health, safety, and welfare, for restoring of the land. It's what can I get from my insurance company, and how fast can I get it? And you know, if we don't plant, we don't plant. If we don't get to harvest, we don't harvest. And it's just it is not the way things should be at all. And because it is a delayed result of this going on, out of sight, out of mind.
I tell you what's been encouraging to me is the emails and texts and letters been receiving with pictures of the remnant that's flying the Appeal to Heaven flag.
Yes.
And requested the bumper stickers, and we're actually even starting to see more and more of them in the neighborhoods. Don't know if they heard it from us. There's others that are proclaiming that truth that we need to appeal to heaven, and I think we're the only ones that are saying appeal to heaven for God to save America again. But that's been encouraging to me, and people are really, they're taking pride in the fact that they're putting that flag up, and you can see that there's a joy in probably raising that flag, and there's a peace in raising that flag, and there's a sense of inclusion, you know, that you're doing something. In today's world, there's so many adversaries, you know, everywhere you turn you got an adversary, but it also shows, I think, those that are like-minded, that you understand what's going on. If you're flying that flag, you know that you're in a spiritual warfare. You're a praying, God-fearing member of the body of Jesus Christ, and even the bumper stickers have started conversations.
Yes.
regarding, well, what's that all about? And I've even spoke to a couple of the local Christian schools and explained to them what this is about, and they're considering flying the flags as well. So, Lord willing, that will take place. I think it's an important blow to the enemy. Also returning to the ancient paths, to the covenants of Abraham and all of the other saints, and even going back to as recent as our pastor's prayers for the country and for God's people, that we can come in agreement with those prayers. And if God answers them even for this generation, then he's answered them for the other generation, because this blood is this blood, and this seed is this seed. And if we are of descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which we are, the German, Scandinavian, kindred, and Celtic people, then we can claim those same promises and enact that same covenant. And that's one thing that I don't think the enemy was thinking was going to take place, and I believe it's been a major blow to them. But they've also come on the offense. They've pulled out all the stops. You know, you can see these shootings that are taking place. You won't hear much about this last one with the six cops that were wounded, because the guy was a devout Muslim, black man. So unless it fits their agenda. And that's why it was so important for the enemy to take control of the media. And you know, and they still have the majority of the control of the media, but through God's grace and mercy and compassion, there's been other sources of media that have come up, and at least they're somewhat proclaiming the truth. So,
amen. And you don't hear the, you know, the defending lives with lawfully owned firearms. You don't hear any of that, and that is on the increase quite a bit, because of the lawlessness that's in the land. But you're right, John, because the media is owned by the left, by the Antichrist, they only put out what fits their agenda. You won't hear much of that, again, because it was in Philadelphia. And, you know, just like you don't hear of the multiple 50, 60, 70, 80, up to 100 shootings every weekend in places like Chicago and Baltimore, resulting in 7, 10, 12, 20 deaths every weekend, because it doesn't fit their agenda. And so, no, it's not a gun problem in this country. It's a morality problem. It sure reminds me of the time, the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. When you go back and look at those, you go back and read those stories, and that's, you know, the people had gotten away from God. It had been, you know, captivity for 70 years, and they didn't know. They did not know God. They didn't know His ways. But some, when they heard the law read, when they heard the prophets speak to them and correct them, rebuke them, it resonated with some. It didn't with all. You remember, in the time of Nehemiah, when they had to rebuild the wall. We all know that story. They had to rebuild it with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other, and they had to sleep on the job site to protect it. And it was, you know, that was not a just a happy-go-lucky job site. it was a time of conflict, and we see that again today. That the remnant, just a few that are seeking to live godly, that are praying, as you mentioned. As you mentioned, Tim, praying and, hey, rebuking the storm, whether it's a physical storm and hail coming at you, or the storm of the evil one that's coming against you. That remnant sees that and understands that. And the remnant doesn't want to just sit back and say, hey, I've got this power, so I'm okay. No, the remnant wants to share that. The remnant wants to, to fulfill that great commission of telling others about this saving grace that God has, not only being saved from your sins, but being saved from the hands of those that hate you. because there are plenty out there that hate us, that hate the true followers of Jesus Christ. I mean, the world itself and everything that's of it. This appeal to heaven is, you know, John, the way I look at it is the latest appeal. You know, the God Save America Again DVD and T-shirts that we've had for years and have put out is an appeal to heaven. I remember getting pictures and comments from, you know, brethren wearing those to rallies and gun shows in different places and people commenting. And I've worn the shirt and had good positive comments. Hey, like your shirt. That's what we need. We need God to save us again. And things like that. I think it is part of planting that seed. You know, when we go to share the gospel, when we go to share the gospel, as the Great Commission says, with all creation, you got to have a step. People are so burned; they've been so burned, you know, by this false Judeo-Christianity, and the enemy thinks they've covered all the bases, But these things plant a seed. This appeal to heaven flag bumper sticker, the God Save America DVD, you know, the flyers. It plants a seed. It might get people thinking, and that's what we have to do. We have to get people thinking, get them out of this spell. And a big part of that is understanding who they are. I think that's why the left has, you know, their latest and greatest. They've been as anti-American and anti-Christ as they could be, like we started out, really ramping it up a couple generations ago with pulling prayer out of the school. But the latest and greatest is racism. Oh, you're everything, the latest is. Everything that America stands for and all the institutions she has is racist. Everything is racist. So they're really playing that racism card. Why? Because of who? The Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic, kindred, Celtic people are.
Well, you know what that tells you, too, is it tells you that they got nothing.
That's right.
If you look at what the Democrat Party running on, they got nothing.
And they got nothing.
And what they're trying to do right now is crash the economy. And it's interesting how quickly, you know, everything was thriving, stock market was going, everything was going perfectly, and all of a sudden, they figured out that they got nothing. And what happens? All of a sudden, the stock market starts to crash. And,
yeah.
I mean, so all these things, do they have control of some of this? Absolutely they do. It's the Antichrist that are in the positions of authority that are in the banking industries, the terrors, those that are the descendants of Cain that could not be productive, that cannot make a living with their hands, those ones that are parasites. And but then again, greater is he that is for us than those that are against us, and no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. And as we continue to, well, as evil continues to rise up around us, it's really critically important that we take the time to learn some Bible verses, if nothing else, Luke 10:19, that God's given us authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents and all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm me.
Amen.
Now, there may come a time in your life where that one verse, being able to cite that one verse, might thwart some sort of evil intention that's coming against you, or some evil demonic entity that's coming against you. And we have a responsibility as Christians, as Jedi, as the remnant, to take the time to learn some of these powerful verses that, the bottom line is, they know that Jesus Christ is the only name that has authority over evil. And if we don't know that, well, then guess what? Evil can and will thrive unless we understand the power that we've been given as the sons of God. If we're born again of the water and the Spirit, if we've been washed, if we've contacted that blood.
Amen. Amen. So
as the day draws nigh, it's more and more important that we understand those things. But another encouraging thing that the Lord brought to mind was, remember, just a couple years ago, they passed the so-called assault weapons ban there in Pennsylvania, right? And what was it? Less than 1% turned them in, and there was all kinds of threat of your, you know, going to jail, you're breaking the law, it's a felony, this and that. Well, what happened? All of a sudden, you don't hear anything about it. And the good news is, through probably God's intervention, I have several friends that are sheriffs and state troopers and local police, and they're basically saying they can pass whatever laws they want. We understand the Second Amendment, that the right to bear and own arms shall not be infringed upon. And the enemy can pass whatever they want, and it may come down to, you know, some sort of a skirmish at some point. But the bottom line is, you know, they talk about gun buybacks. Well, you never bought it in the first place, so how are you buying it back is the thing that we need to get through our heads. And so I think it's just, it's all about the numbers, you know. If you have that many people, and we know there are that many people who are just going to say no, there's the idiots that will fall in line with the edict of the king at the time. But it's encouraging when you look back at, you know, even how Dad used to say, it's so simple. All you have to say is no. You know, you just put your tongue on the roof of your mouth, and it rolls off quite easily, really. Just no. You know, we're not trying to comply. And there's nothing they can do. There's absolutely nothing they can do because there's strength in numbers, and they know it.
Amen. Yes.
And if God is for us, who can be against us?
Yep.
Which is the other thing, like you said, of being in God's will.
The lines are being drawn. Choose ye this day who you shall serve, you know. I keep telling people, I said, well, at some point, you're going to have to decide. Are you going to follow man's law or God's law? And that day is drawn nigh.
It is. It is. And the gap is getting bigger, and that line is being drawn. And it's not being drawn by the Christian right. It's being drawn by this antichrist, anti-American, ungodly, satanic left. You know, in their pushing of anything and everything that is ungodly. You know, from the sexual perverts, cross-dressing, and reading stories to the children in the schools and the libraries and the community centers, to you know, this LGBTQDF rights, it you know, pushing that as civil rights, and it just you're right, John. It does not. The only thing that stops it is when the people will repent and stop their sin and say no, and say no. This when you were mentioning that the saying that we've heard, you know, all it takes for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing, and there's a lot of truth there, because evil does flourish when good men do nothing, when they are not obedient to the word, in reading the word, in applying the word, in learning from the word of God. In repenting and turning and being baptized correctly, biblically, and then doing their best, not being perfect, but doing their best to lead a Christian life. You know, it's becoming more and more evident that, you know, our entire society, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, everything that we have, all the founding documents, and our society of this Western man is based on the biblical principle of do unto others as you would have others do unto you. You know, the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what it is. You know, if I love you, I'm not going to covet what you have. I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to, you know, and that's the basis of our society. But because we have thrown that out, you know, that's why we get 10,000 new laws every year, because we've turned away from him and his law. And when you throw that out, then, you know, and part of it is having all these other peoples that we're told to come out of, that we're told not to partake of. you know, they are not that way. You know, they are they're like the American Indian. You talk, all this great stuff about the American Indian. The American Indian's culture was the best thief was the chief. Whoever could steal and kill the most of the other Indians or anybody else, he was the leader. Just a totally different culture. And I think people are starting to see that, you know, the things that made America great in the first place are the only thing that's going to make America great again. And that is having God's laws, statutes, and judgments as the law of the land. You know, that's why some of the books that we have, The Light and the Glory, The Chaplains and Clergy of the Revolution, I can tell you, I'm having to reorder Light and the Glory because we've sent the last, 30 of them out. Because people are starting to see that. They're starting to awake. Now, is it the masses? Are we sending 10,000 books out? No, we're not. Maybe the publisher is. But the remnant is starting to see this. And there's more that are awakening and seeing this. I mentioned that to a man the other day, you know, that, hey, our society is based on this. Loving your neighbors yourself. And when you throw that out, you know, when it's hooray for me and to hell with you, it's a slave mentality that they just, you know, get all they can and don't worry about anybody else. And you cannot have enough laws. Lord knows the enemy tries, but you can't have enough laws to govern people that have stepped away from that. That are ungodly. That's right. That's right. And I think that goes back to when, you know, God would send his people into the land of Canaan or into the, you know, the Moabites or you know, the all the different times and God would say, wipe them out. Wipe them out. Because, see, they were ungodly. And they would not be governed. You know, that's why they could sacrifice their children to Molech. Because they didn't care. It was all whatever's good for me. They didn't care about their children. They didn't care about family. They didn't care about posterity. It was, hey, we're going to go have whatever sex we want with whatever we want. And if I get pregnant, I'm going to have it. If they didn't abort it, they just threw it into the fire. And that's, you know, that's why God said wipe them out. Wipe them out. Because they were ungodly. They would not repent. And we've got the contrast to that with Nineveh. You know, Nineveh, they weren't our people. They weren't God's people, but they repented. They repented when Jonah went to them. And they were saved.
Well, I think that when you talk about those books going out, for example, that may not have been 10,000 books, but my take on that or the thought that always occurs to me when I hear that is one is a big number in God's system. Psalm 91:7.
Amen.
You know, I mean, what was it? 1,000 shall fall at the side, 10,000 at the right hand.
Yes.
Every one of those people that awakened represents 10,000.
Amen.
Of the enemy that's now powerless, you know. So,
amen. I like that. Like I said, Tim, every time,
bro, we gotta,
you know, every time you come on, you are so encouraging. and that, you're right. We have to remember that. We do. We do. That it's not going to be the masses. But it is. The ones that, you know, when they even asked Jesus, when he was talking about, you know, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to salvation, that leads to the kingdom of God. And they said, well, Lord, are there just a few that are going to be saved? And he basically said, yes. And you know, that flies in the face of this Judeo-Christianity and this, you know, we have to convert the world. The world's not going to be converted. The world doesn't want to be converted. So many are happy with that thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But not all of them. Not all. And that's why we continue on here. Well, guys, we're almost out of time. Want to make sure we invite you to church tomorrow. Come to church with us. And you can do it right here, wherever you're at. You can tune in. If you're just listening on the audio, you can tune in. Starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And you can do that at scripturesforamerica.org. If you have a good internet stream, you can, or internet connection, you can click on the live video stream And we'll have a little bit of everything for you. A little review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth message. John, looking forward to yours. Dare I even ask if you're getting back into Jasher or not?
Yeah, I think that's the plan.
Good. Good. That's been interesting.
And I also wanted to...
Sure, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I wanted to end with a positive note. This is regarding what we talked about in the beginning, that in the beginning, or not that long ago, the students all across the country prayed, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon Thee, and we beg Thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. Amen. And it was Reagan who told the annual convention of the National Religious Broadcasters on January 30th, 1984, I was pleased last year to proclaim 1983 as the year of the Bible. If you don't know what that is, that's Public Law 97-280. But you know, a group called the ACLU severely criticized me for doing that. Well, I wear that indictment like a badge of honor. And I want to leave you with the fact that there's people, there's members of the body, the remnant all across the country that understand the power of that proclamation in 1983, the Public Law 97-280. Several, Brother Marlin sent me something that there was some representatives there in Tennessee that basically used that. And if you zoom in on it, you can see that it's our ministry is at the bottom of that. But I had an opportunity to travel back east here not too long ago, and we had about 100 of those professionally printed out and handed them out. And it's really sad, the fact that people who call themselves Christians have never even heard of such a thing. And I hope to do a write-up about it in the next newsletter and let everyone know that those are available at no cost. And it's a critical part of an appeal to heaven, and it's a critical part of God Save America, again, is for our people to realize that you have the Antichrist Obamanation administration, and even today, those that boldly proclaim that America was never a Christian nation. Well, got news for you. Even the corrupt government that man put in place declared that it was the year of the Bible, and that we'd be wise to follow the teachings of the Bible. And amen. I'll leave it at that because we're about out of time.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, men, thanks for joining us. Remnant, thank you for joining us. And again, we hope that we see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.